Oh my God. He also had this to say about carbon dioxide.
It's just a complete distortion of the truth to call it a pollutant. It's not a pollutant at all.
So he's going to lead Donald Trump's commission on climate change.
Yes, he is.
You know what, Dr. Happer, since carbon dioxide is such a benefit to man, why don't we shut him into a chamber with nothing more than carbon dioxide and see if he believes it's a pollutant then?
Well, Happer either doesn't know or doesn't care that recent studies have shown that too much carbon dioxide actually stunts the growth of plants that we eat and makes them less nutritious.
Doesn't care.
The White House's latest move to undermine the conclusions of the U.S. military came one day after security analysts at the Klingendael Institute, a Dutch think tank, published a new report finding climate change is increasingly a driver behind growing insecurity and violence around the world. The report says climate change intensified extreme weather events are exacerbating existing tensions in already volatile regions with more destructive storms, heat waves, and drought that are, for example, worsening water shortages in the Middle East. Speaking of water shortages, India announced late last week that it will stop sharing excess water that it doesn't utilize with its regional rival Pakistan in the disputed border territory region of Kashmir, an already parched area facing increasing drought. The announcement came just days after a Kashmir separatist group launched a deadly attack on an Indian security detail. India also announced it is constructing a new dam on a crucial river in Kashmir that will also further curtail Pakistan water supplies.
Let the water wars continue.
Well, both nations possess nuclear weapons.
Oh, fun.
Finally, U.S. kids are pressuring their legislators to act on climate change, but in Europe... Over the last month, kids across Europe have been skipping school and marching to pressure their governments to act more swiftly on climate change, inspired by the school strike of Swedish teen climate activist Greta Thunberg. March 15th is set to be a global day of kids' climate marches around the world. On Australia's Sky News, State Education Minister Rob Stokes was unclear on the concept of protest.
Kids should be at school. It's very, very straightforward. And there's a March 15th. Is a Friday. By all means, if you want to go and protest about whatever it is, you've got the weekend to do it.
Well, they wouldn't really notice them if they went in on a Saturday or a Sunday, would they? The reason they're noticing them is because they're striking from school and showing up to these protests. And we're beginning to see this here in Washington, D.C., with kids showing up in senators' office, begging them to sign the Green New Deal. I'm happy to see that.
Yep, and UK teen Zoe Bennett agrees with you.
It's incredibly important for our generation to be heard about climate change, because it's our future.
It certainly is. Keep up the good work, Zoe. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find us, follow us, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report. The kids are all right. The kids are all right. The kids
are all right. You're listening to the KABU Evening News for Wednesday, February 27th, 2019. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories and tips at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Sam Bowman, Teresa Mitchell, Dan Raphael, and Carissa Bohush. Our engineer is David Kesters. The interim director of Evening News and Public Affairs is myself, Lisa Loving. A podcast and transcript of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. We need more volunteers in the newsroom. Email me, lisa@kboo.org, to find out how. Do it! You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Lisa Loving.
And I'm Erin J. Bernard. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, it's Voices from the Edge with host Joanne Hardesty. At 9, Press Watch, where host Teresa Mitchell will be talking about the high crimes and misdemeanors in recent news. At 10, The Heather McCoy Show will talk about the recent reports of LGBTQ people being attacked on the streets of Portland with Portland Mercury reporter Blair Stenvik. At 11 on Between the Covers, Ken Jones interviews author Sarah McColl about her new memoir, Joy Enough. All of this KBOO programming is made possible by member support. To become a member, go to kboo.fm and click on the button marked Donate. Coming up next for our in-depth segment, we have an extended interview with local police issue expert Dan Handelman, offering an organizer's perspective on the City Council's recent 3-2 decision to withdraw from the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force.
I'm here with Dan Handelman of Portland Cop Watch and other organizations. So, Dan, why don't you just introduce yourself a little bit.
All right. Well, I'm Dan Handelman. I helped co-found Peace and Justice Works in 1992, and Portland Cop Watch is a project group of Peace and Justice Works. I'm also with a group called Flying Focus Video Collective that does, it's been producing TV shows for cable access since 1991.
Great. And recently, you have been kind of leading the charge in a campaign within the city to withdraw the city from the JTTF agreement with the FBI. So why don't you just summarize what's gone on lately with that campaign?
I do want to back up a little bit, or rather a long way, because one of the reasons Portland Cop Watch kind of, as you say, take the lead, I mean, we sort of were the administrative coordinator of the campaign. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons we are very deeply involved in this issue is we were the ones that found the JTTF on the city council agenda in the year 2000 when nobody else even knew it existed. Mm. The city was trying to push it through on the consent agenda, and we pulled it off, forcing them to have a public discussion about it. So then we brought in the ACLU and a couple other groups, and we testified about it that year. And then the next year, 9/11 happened, and we tried to get the city to pull out. And Charlie Hales voted to get out, actually. He was a commissioner at the time, but we actually got out in 2005, back in again in 2011 after the Muhammad sting, and then in early 2017 when the Trump administration took over, and we were seeing that we'd have a changeover in city council, because it was eventually when we got back in fully in 2015, it was a 3-2 vote, which was very tight, and so the makeup of city council changed in the early 2017. So we thought it was a good opportunity to revive the issue. And so this was January 2017. In early February 2017, San Francisco pulled out of their Joint Terrorism Task Force, mm-hmm. which is huge national news. I mean, it should be huge national news. Mm-hmm. But, you just did an internet search and you could barely find anything. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. There's only a couple of articles about it. Mm-hmm. And that really gave us some inspiration. So we called together some of the usual suspects, the people who were working on this for years, and started meeting throughout 2017 and 2018. Joanne Hardesty decided to run for office, and she made this a kind of a cornerstone of her efforts. And eventually, once she was elected, the opportunity was very, the time was right, but she said she wanted this to be the first thing she did when she got in office. I actually got the sense that she, if you look at the city council agendas between January 1st and February 13th, when the JTTF vote happened, there's almost nothing that was underneath her name on the city council agenda. So she literally was trying to make this her first piece of legislation. Mm. And so, we had Portland's Resistance, mm-hmm. And the ACLU of Oregon, the Japanese American Citizens League, and 49 other organizations eventually signed a letter that we started circulating in early 2017. A majority of those groups came to testify at City Hall on the 13th, where we were trying to, fortunate, I guess, because the people who signed on to, or the groups that signed on to the campaign represent environmental movement, the peace movement, civil liberties, pro-immigrant movement, the LGBTQ community. We just had a wide variety of voices there. What's that?
Labor, jobs with justice.
Right? Mm-hmm. We had Veterans for Peace was on there, and so a guy came in his old uniform to testify from that group, and I, you know, it just was a very, and people from the African American community, the Latino community, the Asian American community. This was a very wide variety of people raising their voices and saying we need to get out of the Joint Terrorism Task Force. And Commissioner Udaley has been sitting on the fence and not telling us what her position was going to be. And when the vote came down, and after all this couple of hours worth of testimony happened, she said, I wasn't quite sure how I was going to vote, but today's hearing convinced me, and she voted yes, and there was a big cheer. And now Portland has until early or mid-May to pull those two part-time officers out of the Joint Terrorism Task Force, according to the resolution that passed.
Great. Thanks for that history and overview. Perhaps we should take a second to imagine someone who doesn't know much about the JTTF, and which stands for the Joint Terrorism Task Force, and perhaps just give like a brief overall description of what the JTTF is and what Portland's participation in it perhaps look like.
All right, so Joint Terrorism Task Forces were created in the mid-1990s. There was most people forget about this, but there was a bombing of the World Trade Center that happened. There was a bomb that exploded in the basement of the World Trade Center in 1993. And President Bill Clinton created these Joint Terrorism Task Forces around the country where the FBI and other federal agencies teamed up with local police and other state authorities to share information about people that they thought might be involved in what they call terrorist activities. Now, of course, terrorism is a very loosely defined term, and one can argue one person's terrorist is another person's freedom fighter. And there's a long history of the FBI particularly and the American authorities demonizing political activists. The language in the resolution that we found in the year 2000 that the city council was going to adopt said something like, we are going to track left-wing and right-wing groups, including the Animal Liberation Front and Earth Liberation Front. And Charlie Hales read that and said, this sounds like something out of the Nixon era. Right? Mm-hmm. Why are we targeting people based on their political... And just to back up a little bit more, one of the reasons we were very concerned about finding this cooperation between the FBI and the Portland Police is that Oregon has a state law which is now known as ORS 181A.250, which prohibits law enforcement from collecting or maintaining information on people's political, religious, or social affiliation unless they have reasonable suspicion of criminal conduct. We had been spied on. Our very first time we ever had a general meeting of our organization in 1992, the police sent two undercover operatives, we don't think they were actually police officers, into our meeting. They took notes on what happened, and the report that came out of it said police review board at the top, and it listed kind of who was at our meeting, you know, not only the individual names, but the organizations that they represented. And it said they discussed having a civilian review board, and eventually this came to light in the case that's known as Moose versus Squirrel. It was Chief Moose was in power at the time, and the activist who was involved in our group was named Douglas Squirrel, and he found this document, and it was actually called Squirrel versus City of Portland, but Moose versus Squirrel is more funny.
So which organization, when you say we, they came to
Peace and Justice Works.
Okay, but so Peace and Justice Works is having a little meeting in 1992.
It was a public meeting in a public park, and it was our general meeting, so we were discussing all of our plans. So Cop Watch was part of that, and Cop Watch was talking about having a civilian review board, and the judge that looked at this document said, what possible criminal activity is there in advocating for a strong police review board? And he made the police throw that document out and said they were going to have somebody review their documents in the criminal intelligence unit, which is what these guys were affiliated with,
right,
and review those documents every 2 months and every 2 years to make sure they weren't violating the statute.
Right.
So this FBI task force opens the door for the Portland police officers who are involved in it to be collecting that kind of information without suspicion of criminal conduct. And the expert that we flew in from San Francisco, one of the two experts we flew in, Michael German, who was here last year, and people might have seen clips or the whole video of him speaking at a forum that was organized by the campaign in April of 2018. Michael German being a former FBI agent, knows back and forwards the paperwork that lays the trail of what FBI is allowed to do and not do. And they're allowed to open up an investigation basically on a hunch.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, they don't have to have reasonable suspicion of criminal conduct. They can just have somebody call in and say, I don't like my neighbor. He looks like he's Muslim. I don't trust him. And then they can open up a file on it. And that is completely against our state law. So we shouldn't be messing with this. The way that Mr. German and then another person with from Northern California, he used to be with the ACLU there, put it, is that the FBI task force is in the intelligence gathering business. So mm-hmm. they're just trying to collect information on people. One of the key players, I talked about all these organizations that helped us. One of the key players all along in this campaign, since 2004, has been Brandon Mayfield, who's a local attorney who is Muslim, and the FBI botched his fingerprint analysis when they were trying to find somebody who bombed a train in Spain, thought that alleged that he was the bomber, even though he had never been to Spain, and they spied on him at his mosque. They spied on him coming back from the sporting arena the sporting goods store with his son picking up a basketball net, mm-hmm. and all these things that were just completely. There's no reason for them to have done it except that he was Muslim, and that's why they were. And so he ended up going to jail for a while on suspicion of a crime that he had nothing to do with. So he is a very good example of mm-hmm. why the FBI shouldn't be trusted to do these kind of things.
Mm-hmm. And we heard in City Hall on February 13th from Millie, whose family is of Yemeni origin, and she told a very powerful account of the FBI, JTTF, coming to her house and taking away her father, mm-hmm. and how that really disrupted her family's life, her whole family's life, her father's life. And it was, we'll bring this back around to the idea of lack of accountability. Because if I remember correctly, it was a completely false charge on her father, yet it completely destroyed her family's life. And so this is the power that this oversight can have on people's lives. And another theme that came up in City Hall from people like Commissioner Fritz was, when you go, the FBI, JTTF have all these powers to where they can open files on people or get information on people based on a hunch. But when you go to them asking for reports or accountability or transparency, what happens then?
Mm-hmm.
There's basically none. The reports they give are just almost laughable. I mean, maybe laughable is the better word. Commissioner Fritz really spoke harshly and eloquently about that.
Yeah, well, it's true. So, after the FBI sting on Mohammed Mohammed, who was an immigrant from Somalia, he was a teenager at the time, his father went to the FBI and said, I think my son's being radicalized, I need your help. And instead of pointing him to help or to try to find a group that is doing humanitarian aid or some other thing that'll help people on the other side of the world, they set him up to make them think that they were from Al-Qaeda, and they gave him an apartment in Portland, they built a fake bomb, and they arrested him, and he was in jail for 20 years. And that was not how you help people.
Mm-hmm.
So after that sting operation, which, by the way, I was in Pioneer Square the day that happened. And
the story that went out to the public was, this terrorist was going to put off a bomb in
right.
Pioneer Square at the Christmas tree lighting. But it was just this kid who they had set up in a sting operation,
exactly.
Every step of the way. Yeah.
Yeah, right. And so, but I knew immediately once I'd heard of what happened, because people down at the square that night, we weren't unaware of anything going on. I knew that they were going to try to get us back in the JTTF. And when that happened, they said, okay, we're going to have our officers work on a case-by-case basis, and then we'll get reports every year. And the reports that came back, as you said, they were threadbare. There was basically, they wouldn't even say the number of cases that had been worked on.
Mm.
It was just, that was how vague it was. That didn't work out too well. So in 2015, Mayor Hill said, either we're going to be all in or we're going to be all out. And unfortunately, he cast the deciding vote of making it be all in again. So now we're trying to get all out. But we're going to say they can cooperate on a case. But I mean, nobody wants to leave a city vulnerable to an attack by
right.
somebody who's going to blow people up for political reasons. That's not the goal here. We're not trying to say there's no place for law enforcement to investigate people who are trying to hurt other people.
Exactly.
But what we are saying is that this is not the right way to do it,
mm-hmm.
and that we can't trust the FBI. And the thing we haven't talked about yet is that one of the key players in Joint Sheriff and Task Force, at least in Oregon, we know for sure that Immigration and Customs Enforcement isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And so another one of the reasons we had a lot of success is that we recognize that if somebody gets brought in and is accused of being a terrorist, and then they turns out they don't have proper paperwork to be in the United States, then they're going to end up being in the hands of ICE, and ICE will have that information. And we were working on this speculation that that was going to happen for the first year and a half of the campaign. And then in November last year, right after Commissioner Hardesty was elected, they did a news conference and said, yeah, well, we only use immigration status as a last resort when we have somebody and we can't prove that they actually did any kind of criminal activity, which is exactly in violation not only of the state statute that I was talking about criminal spying, but our state statute that we call the sanctuary law, which is prohibits you deporting somebody or the police from working on somebody's immigration status unless they guilty of some other crime other than not having the right paperwork. And so that, just on that basis alone, the city council should have voted 5-0 to get out,
mm-hmm.
and say, if you do that even once, I don't care how rare it is, the mm-hmm. fact that you even consider doing that means we can't work with you.
Yeah, we're not putting our resources towards working with you because yeah. we stand for all our citizens. And so that came out.
Community members, yes.
yes, all of our residents and yes. community members, yes. So that little tidbit about, oh, we use immigration, came out as a sort of yes, JTTF campaign attempted to counter Joanne's election and the momentum that Mayor Wheeler and others could perceive that suggested that there might be three votes to pull Portland out. So I have two more questions, really. Talk a little bit about the campaign, if we want to call it that, to stay in the JTTF, and then also then looking forward to next steps for where this goes next. And before I get to that, I just want to say, if you're just tuning in, you're tuning into KBOO, and this is an interview with Dan Handelman of Portland Cop Watch and Portland Peace and Justice Works. And we're talking about kind of going over the City of Portland withdrawing from the JTTF, which just happened. The decision to do that was just made about 2 weeks ago. Okay, so the campaign to pressure the city to stay in.
Yeah. So, you know, the only people who testified in favor of being in the JTTF in that 2011 to 2015 timeframe, the only organization that came forward at City Council and testified was a group called the Citizens Crime Commission, which is an offshoot of the Portland Business Alliance. And we actually, our campaign had approached them to say, hey, are you guys going to be testifying on this again? They said, well, the Citizens Crime Commission is on mothballs, so they're probably not going to get active on this. And then all of a sudden in January, Commissioner Hardesty was elected, suddenly we start seeing that the Citizens Crime Commission is having a meeting with the FBI. Mm. So we got in touch with them and said, would you be willing to meet with somebody maybe from the ACLU or somebody, you know, some kind of mainstreamish organization, just so we can discuss it? And their answer was, no, we don't want to talk to you about it.
Mm-hmm.
So the Citizens Crime Commission testified. So the day before the hearing at City Hall where the vote was done was a work session, what's called a work session, where the City Council can discuss an issue, but they can't take any votes, and there's no public testimony except unless you're invited.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had Mr. German, I talked about before, the ex-FBI agent, and Zahra Bilou, who's with the Council on American Islamic Relations in the Bay Area, and she was just fantastic. And she came in to talk about how they had gotten out of their Joint Terrorism Task Force and it didn't cause the end of the world, you know. But that there had been members of their community, particularly the Muslim and Arab community, who had been harassed by the FBI, and that's one of the reasons they got out. That was our presentation, and we also had Brandon Mayfield speak there and Kimberly from – oh, not Kimberly – who was our third speaker?
Casey.
Oh, it was Casey Jama from United mm-hmm. Oregon. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Right. So he did a great job as well. And then, so they brought up the Citizens Crime Commission interim executive director, and they rolled in a video from a guy who's with the Jewish Federation of Portland, who's saying, "Oh, you know, our the synagogue that got blown up or shot up in Pittsburgh, that we won't want that to happen here. We want to have our JTTF help us so that won't happen here." There was a Joint Terrorism Task Force in Pittsburgh, and that shooting happened anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of an empty argument. And so those were the only two community groups that Mayor Hales rallied
Mayor
to
Wheeler.
Support. Mayor Wheeler, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez, look, I'm doing the same thing now. Yeah, that Mayor Wheeler was able to support, drum up for support. The other people that testified in favor were all state actors, and it was unsurprisingly the U.S. Attorney's Office, the FBI themselves, and the Portland Police, with the roll in video from Chief Outlaw, and then the two officers who work part time in the JTTF, who, you know, their main assignment is to be in this criminal intelligence unit I talked about briefly before, but then they work part time in the FBI, and they actually go in, they're deputized with top secret clearance to be FBI agents, and all the things they're talking about preventing terrorism and investigating possible crimes are things that can be done without deputizing our two police officers. But that's not how and the mayor kind of set up this empty question to the two of them. Have you ever violated Oregon law? No, sir, we have not. Have you ever used immigration? No, we have not, sir. I remind you, you're under oath to not lie because that's what our directives tell you. Yes, sir, we understand that. Well, the directive that says they can't lie says if it's in the advancement of law enforcement purposes, they can lie. So it was, you know, just an empty conversation. The mayor and the U.S. attorney, among other people at the table, were acting, I think, in ways that were not dignified of public officials, where they were being kind of sarcastic. And when Commissioner Hardesty asked the U.S. attorney, "Do you believe in Oregon sanctuary law?" He says, "I know it exists." And I said, "That's, you know, we weren't asking you, do you believe in Peter Pan? We're asking, do you support that law enforcement shouldn't try to deport people when they haven't committed any kind of crimes?" But that he didn't want to answer that question.
No, he did not. Yeah, because the answer is no, he doesn't support it. Okay, so we've kind of summed up. We have the 50 groups in the No JTTF campaign. We have the mayor and his state actors and a couple local groups, one of whom is tied with the Business Alliance, saying, yes, we should stay in. And the 3-2 vote came out in favor, really, of the community. And take us through where the city of Portland goes from here and even maybe a tiny bit of like national outlook.
Okay. So the language of the resolution that passed said that Commissioner Hardesty, Mayor Wheeler, and Chief Outlaw have to come back to city council within 55 days. In order to do that, essentially, they would have to have some kind of language ready to give to the council by the end of March. I did some calculations. So I think March 26th. So a couple of us in the campaign are working on trying to finesse what that language might look like. Of course, we don't have the final say. That's all going to happen inside City Hall, but we're trying to give at least our opinion about that. Once that decision is made of what the language is going to say, what is the relationship going to be between the Portland Police and the FBI vis-a-vis these investigations? A lot of the pushback that has been coming from the business community and the powers that be is, are you saying that we should stop working with the FBI on child trafficking? And are you saying that there's no such thing as terrorism? And, you know, everybody, the answer is obviously we're not saying we don't believe that there's child trafficking and that people should be working together. And Michael German, actually, his answer at City Council was very good about the other. We're working on this task force now. We'll look at those task forces later. That's a possible next step, is to look at, see whether any of those other task forces are potentially violating Oregon laws. So essentially, there's one more hurdle for us to get over. And in the meantime, we have people like Representative Jamie Herrera Butler from Southwest Washington saying that she feels like her constituents are less safe because Portland's going to pull out of the Joint Terrorism Task Force, which is complete nonsense. But it's just another kind of fire that we need to put out and just say, first of all, you have your own state that you can deal with. This is an Oregon issue. And second of all, there are people, probably constituents of hers, that don't agree with that. So, you know, if anybody is listening to this in Vancouver and that's your representative, you should let her know that getting out of the JTTF is actually going to make us all safer and not less safe. You ask about the national scene. So this is a complicated problem because both San Francisco and Portland, because of their local ordinance and because of our state law that basically said you can't collect information about people without reasonable suspicion of criminal activity, those don't necessarily exist everywhere in the United States. Mm-hmm. So it might not be to replicate this everywhere, but on, you know, that being said, we know that concerns about immigration being used for just getting people out of the country for no reason is a very big problem, especially under President Trump. So I think there are people who want to kind of look to this as one organizing principle or idea that they can work on to push back against the government deportations.
All right. Dan Handelman, thank you so much for coming in and talking with us. Sure. And for your work on this campaign.
Thank you.
All right.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. Next up is The Underground.
KBOO Community Radio is hiring. We are seeking a full-time chief engineer. Applications are due by midnight on Monday, March 4th, to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214, or by emailing engineerhire@kboo.fm. To apply, please send both a resume and a cover letter outlining your skills and experience with regards to the minimum qualifications and by answering the following question: why is KBOO important? For more information and a full job description, go to kboo.fm/engineer2019. KBOO is an equal opportunity and affirmative action employer.